Tonight, as we are walking through the Bible, and we're all the way up to Genesis 20 and 21. So, there is something that Abraham and Sarah did before that got them in a lot of trouble. Abraham had just a little problem with lying sometimes to other people. What did he lie about?
Who Sarah was.
And was it really a full-out lie?
No.
No, it was a partial truth. And guess what? A partial truth is still a
lie.
Omitting the truth is a lie. And so he would tell kings, this is my sister. So they wouldn't kill him to take her for their bride. So they would take her for his bride. Well, guess what he does in chapter 20? New king, same lie. Exact same thing happens. So you figure, what is the deal with this guy? He just doesn't get it. Does that not make you feel a little bit better about yourself when you just keep doing the same thing over and over again? I mean, you'd think we would get it, but God shows the sheer stupidity of even some of the greatest men of the Bible. All right, why do we do this again? Why did he do it the first time?
Fear.
Fear. Why did he do it the second time? Fear. Fear will make you do stupid things. Fear will make you unlearn lessons you have learned. And fear is the opposite of faith. Faith. Now, Abraham later is called, guess what? The father of?
Faith.
Does this guy look like the father of faith to you right now? No, it's going to take an ultimate sacrifice, as you're going to find out in a couple of weeks, in order to turn him into the father of faith. All right? And so anyway, so that's what happened in chapter 20. Ronnie, are you coming up to do 21? You told me it'd be short. It was a short chapter.
Hey, yes. The one on this.
He's fine. You already said. She did.
Obedient wife right there. So, what does the Bible talk about fear in the New Testament? Anybody know a scripture that could that tells us comes to mind?
Perfect love casts out fear.
Very good. And anybody have another one?
That's right.
Okay, very good.
Do not fear what man can do to you, but God, who can cast you into hell.
Yes.
That's one of them.
Very good, yes.
Another is he tells Joshua, have good courage. Do not be afraid, but be of good courage, for I am with you always. And Jesus says what? Jesus also says that, you know, my peace is with you. I give you my peace, not the kind of peace that the world gives, which is your peace, but my peace. So the opposite, if you're afraid, are you going to be at peace? The only way to get to peace is to have faith.
That's right. The Bible says that God did not give us
a
spirit of what?
Fear.
But of what?
Love.
Power.
Power.
And a sound mind.
So what is the love?
Love of Christ.
Love of Christ. What is the power?
The power of Christ.
The Holy Spirit, the
mm-hmm.
power, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so in all that, we have to understand, probably at this time, Abraham didn't have a sound mind, did he?
No.
He didn't have a sound mind. I wonder why. He had a lot on his mind, I guess. You know. One of the things we're going to talk about, I believe the Lord gave me a word this week, and the word I'm going to talk on, and I'm not going to do all of 21, but I'm going to talk to you about faith and promise. And, you know, faith and promise go hand in hand, but sometimes in our mind they really don't. Does that make sense? Sometimes we might get a promise, but we lose faith.
Yes.
And so is there anybody in here this morning who might be struggling. You don't have to raise your hand, but I believe the Lord spoke to me that there's some people struggling and that God has spoken promises in your life. And it's real easy to lose your faith because of that one thing of that promise has not come true yet. And it's real easy in our life to get discouraged and to give up. So I believe I come with a word this morning that God wants you to understand. He don't want you to give up.
Amen.
He don't want you to give up on the promise He's given you. Okay? Now I know I'm already preaching good because I feel the Spirit already.
Amen.
Can y'all give me an amen on that?
Amen.
Now here's something that I want you to, before we get into reading 21, 1 through 7. You may be here today, you might be a little weak. You might be struggling in your faith. You might be in a place where you're just about ready to throw in the towel. You may be wavering a little bit in your faith, wondering what next. But God wants to tell you today that He's bigger than your circumstance. He's bigger than anything that your mind can conceive.
Yeah.
You see, Abraham, the problem was he couldn't grab a hold of the... At this time, you know, he always was wavering in his mind. He was an old man. And then you can find Sarah in the whole scenario of what was their promise? The son. That's right. And at this time, y'all pray for me. I don't lose my voice. It's like Satan's been attacking my voice. Back over in chapter 15, we learned Abraham was visited by God in a vision. And he told him, it's funny that we're talking about that word. What is the thing? Anybody remember what he told him? I believe if I remember right, Miss Laura said something about it that night, that day. Do not what? Do not fear, wasn't it? Do not fear, he said. He told him, do not fear, Abram. At that time, he was still Abram. And he told him, he said, I am a shield to you. Your reward shall be very great. Now, it said that God recognized Abram, his faith as unto what? Righteousness. Because he was in right standing with God. So, how many in here know that you can be in right standing with God one minute, and the next minute you can be like,
amen.
Oh my gosh. What in the world's going on here? Where are you, God?
Uh-huh.
Where are you, Lord? I mean, I've done everything you told me. I've walked the extra mile with that person. It doesn't matter what your situation is, but God's saying to you this morning, I am big enough.
Yes.
You have to trust me. You have to say this morning, I trust you. And look to your neighbor and tell them God is big enough right now. I want you to look over and say, God's
God
big enough. God wants you to have faith in Him. God wants you to trust Him. And sometimes the only way you can trust Him is you have to go through the storm. You have to endure the hardship. You have to trust Him and believe in Him. And you have to say, well, Lord, it might not be right now, but I'm still trusting You.
Yes,
I'm going
right.
to just move
yes.
on down the road here. All right? So, but this morning, we're going to talk about finally, after all these years in chapter 21, guess what happens? Huh?
Promises fulfilled.
Isaac is born. And let me back up. God spoke to Abram also right after. He said he made a covenant with him and told him to offer what? A sacrifice. Anybody remember what the sacrifice was? Huh? No, this is coming up. He told him this was the first sacrifice, right? He told him that... Well,
the one where he walked through to cut pieces
yeah,
of the animal?
Yeah. Well, actually, yeah, he said to cut the animal in two and one on each side. And I believe it was Job asked about what the symbolize of the oven and the fire is. Well, see, that was God. That was God. He was in that vision, and God was saying, I'm going to walk with you through this thing. The sacrifice, you know, was there. It was pleased God, but God says, not only am I pleased with the sacrifice and what you're doing, through your obedience. He says, there's the blood, there's the pain, there's all the things in sacrifice. But he says, I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to be right in the middle of that thing. Oh, you see, God was the fire in the oven. And he was that one thing, Joe, you said you was asking about. What that represented was God himself saying that he's going to go with us through it all. He ain't leaving you. Somebody in here needs to hear me. Today, this morning, you might think, well, where are you, God? You told me this. But God wants you to understand today, he's right there in the middle of it all. He's right there in the middle of it all. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Abram, 86 year old, when Hagar had Ishmael. Now we all know the mistake, right?
Yes.
We all make mistakes. But ain't you glad God don't just look at us at all our fumbling bumbles and mistakes, that he just loves us still right where we're at. We were talking about this morning. He takes the foolish things of the world sometimes to just confound the wise that think they know it all.
Yes.
So, 86-year-old, has a baby, not the one he's supposed to have, took in a wife, we use that word, lover, whatever you want to say, and had a baby, and his name was Ishmael. Now here we go, coming up to the scene at 21. Guess how old he is now? 100 years old. Let's read. Read with me. We're just going 1-7. Then the Lord took note, underline that word, of Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had promised. So Sarah conceived and bore a son to Abram in his old age, at the appointed time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. Then Abraham circumcised. Remember, we talked about circumcision a couple weeks back. His son, Isaac, when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Now, Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. And Sarah said, God has made laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh with me. And she said, who would have said to Abraham and Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have bore him a son in his old age. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, because it's a lifeline to everyone in this room. And this morning, God, I pray through the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, you speak through me and in spite of me, God. And I pray this morning, God, that someone here today is filled with the Holy Ghost power this morning, God, that they leave here changed. Lord, they leave here encouraged. Someone here leaves here today, Father, knowing without a shadow of a doubt, not only are they born again, but there is the promise of a new beginning in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen with me. Okay, first point, if God said it, you can count on it. If God said it, you can count on it. Look at verse 1 there. The Lord took note of Sarah, and he said, Lord, excuse me, my Bible keeps flipping too many pages. Lord did for Sarah as he had promised. Now, it's been 25 years, and now God finally takes note. I like that word. Takes note. What does take note mean?
Remembers.
Huh?
Remembers.
He remembers. Okay, what else, somebody?
Makes it so.
Paid attention to.
Paid attention to.
Recognize.
Okay. Recognize. Okay, very good. You see, when it's God's provision, it always looks better and will stand out above anything we can represent in our own abilities. See, God took note. He already knew. He done promised it, right?
Yes.
Now, we don't understand God sometimes, do we?
No.
We can't understand God in a lot of things in our life. That's why we live by faith.
Yes.
And trust. And hope. And all these things. But you see, if we know in our own abilities, sometimes we have a way to manipulate. Sometimes we make things happen on our own.
Yes.
So when God takes note of something, it's in His timing. That's what I want you to look at next with me on there. It's not always in our own timing. Look at there in the next verse. That fan.
Oh, it's missing me.
Went 7 chapters. Must be wanting something over there. He said, so Sarah conceived and bore a son to Abraham in his old age at the what?
Appointed time.
You see, God has an appointed time for everything. He knows the beginning and the end and all that in between. Now, one of the things you've got to realize in this whole story, as we go through it, Sarah and Abraham made a mistake, did they not?
Yes.
The Bible says our sin can find us out. Now, whether or not this 25 years that they had to get up every morning and wonder, can this be the day? Will this be the day that the Lord has made? I will rejoice and be glad in it, as the song goes. They didn't know. 25 years. Can you imagine Abraham? Anybody know what Abraham, that means? The name?
Father of nations.
Father of many nations. Very good. Can you imagine being called Abraham Mountain? And you're 86 years old, and you have an affair, you have to take another wife on to have a son, but yet you've been promised a son by Sarah. Can you imagine this? Abraham. The father of many nations. You know, people can be mean. People can be rude. Here's our leader. Yeah, the father of many nations. He's nearly 100 years old. Are you kidding me? How many kids can he have at 100 years old? Is that not walking in faith? Trusting God? But I don't know. I imagine I'd probably be a little bit weak in my faith. 25 more years God let them go through. Him and Sarah both. Now, I don't know, again, whether, you know, God was doing this for a reason, but I bet you He usually has something in mind, does He not? And one of the things we have to understand, God is always punctual in His time, and if His promise and mercies don't come at the time we set, they will certainly come. And at the time He sets them, it's the best time. Can you look at your neighbor and say, He's an on-time God.
He's an on-time God.
Y'all remember that old song? Yes, He is.
Mm-hmm.
He's an on-time God.
Yes, He is.
I don't know the rest of the words, but it's a good song.
He may not come when you want Him, but He's always right on time.
He's an on-time God. Yes, He is. That's right. He is. How many of y'all get impatient?
Amen.
My wife spoke to me that yesterday. I was telling her about my CPAP machine and all and everything. She said, well, you know you are an impatient man. I'm like, well, I know, but I didn't want to hear that. I'm trying to tell you a story here how patient I am. Even though Sarah might have been weak in her faith, God's timing was right on time. And to make a point that he alone would get the glory, Sarah and Abraham had to wait these 25 years, and God says, okay, now I guess maybe they've humbled themselves enough. I don't know what God thought, but I tell you what, sometimes He'll humble us. He'll put us in a place where it says, well, you know, we keep taking, I've told Alton from this from the beginning when we started this journey together, you've got to take the big eye out and put the big Him in, because it ain't nothing you can do. It's all about Him. Glory be to God. And He's going to get the glory. He's going to get it. If you think you're the one that can do it, go ahead. He'll let you. Go on right on into that bedroom, He told him. Abraham, yeah, go ahead. He didn't answer. He could have said, God could have said right there, no. No. But He didn't. So, He lets us make our bed. No pun intended. God made the point that despite what everyone else thought, despite even what the families thought, and that even at their age, He would not disappoint. Glory be to God. God and God alone would not be denied from on high. When God makes that promise, when He walks through the fire with you, when He walks through that sacrifice with you, He's meaning what He says. He says, I'll be there. I'll be in the midst of it all. Glory be to God. You better give God some praise in here. I don't know about you, but I'm excited to know that you know, He is that emblem, that vision that Abram got in that dream he had. And He was that smoking oven and blazing torch in Genesis 15 and 17. Jesus will be in the middle of your battle against the enemy. And His grace is sufficient. The Bible says, do you remember, we haven't got there yet, but we're going to go there. In Daniel, it talks about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You ever heard of them cats? Them guys got thrown in a fiery furnace because of their faith. Now, you want to talk about some faith? These dudes had it. Because when they got thrown in a fiery furnace, guess what? They didn't deny God. They stood on the Word. They stayed and they got on their knees in that fiery furnace. And they all the ones that threw them in, they were looking in there.
They got burnt up.
And they, poof, it was so hot it burned them all up while they watched. And so they were watching from a distance and they still looking. They're still in there.
He said they made the fire fight like...
They said, torch it up some more. There ain't nothing happening. And then all of a sudden, guess what? In the midst of them three, there was another. Woo! Glory be to God. It was Jesus Himself in that fiery furnace. He said, I'll be in the middle of it all. And they come out of there, the Bible says, and they didn't have a scorched hair on their head.
Didn't smell
glory to God. They didn't even smell like smoke. And if you like me, you ever been around a campfire, you just walk 10 feet from it and go somewhere else. So somebody say, man, you stink like smoke. But I'm telling you, that's how big a God we serve. That's how big God is right now and wants to be in your life. But you got to trust Him. You got to have faith.
That's right. Yes. Come on.
It ain't easy.
Preach it.
Is it easy?
No.
Look, you never said it ain't easy. Isaiah 40:31 says, I love this scripture. I was going to put it on my race car, but it's too long. It says, yet those who wait on for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not be tired. They will walk and not be weary. God's time is right on time. We got to wait on the Lord in certain things in our life and trust Him for them. Now, back to our story. God always has something better and promises resurrection or something new. Oh my gosh. Verse 4, look there with me. All right. It says, then Abram circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, and God had commanded him. Now, Does anybody in here know what the number 8 represents in the Bible? No. Actually, you're close. You're not close. I was thinking you was. Anybody? Okay. It actually represents new beginnings. New beginnings. Now, it's not by coincidence that what did God tell from the back over to the beginning when he circumcision was, he told him to do circumcision on the 8th day, right? And so that's what Abram is following along. It says in the Old Testament, listen to this, and I looked this up. This is some good stuff here. Like the Old Testament Passover lamb. How many was here when we did the Seder for Easter and stuff? Okay. Excuse me. Remember, the Old Testament Passover lamb, Jesus was selected as the lamb, of course, to take away man's sin on the Hebrew day of Nisan, Nisan the truck, N-I-S-A-N, the 10th, which was actually April 1st. This is a Jewish calendar, Nisan 10. He was crucified on Nisan 14th, which was a Wednesday. And his resurrection occurred exactly as he stated, 3 days and 3 nights after he was buried, which was at the end of the weekly Sabbath day that fell on the 17th. Guess what 17 represents? Victory. Nisan 17 was also, guess what? The 8th day. Counting inclusively from the time Christ was selected as man's sacrificial lamb, all this bears record of Jesus' perfect sacrifice and his complete victory over death. We learn that God made a covenant with Abraham and that every boy child was to be circumcised on the 8th day. That's the reason God said that. It's a new beginning. Circumcision was a beginning in the old. Now that we were studying in our discipleship of this, we talked about circumcision this morning. What are we supposed to, as Christians, now have?
Circumcision of the heart.
Yeah. Tell them, Joe. Tell them again, brother.
Circumcision of the heart.
That's right. Amen. Romans 2, 28 and 29. You look there for lack of time. I'm on in Colossians 2, 11 through 13 if you're taking notes. But it says, those in Christ are becoming a new creation with godly characters being created by the power of God's Spirit. And that is 2 Corinthians 5:17. How many say this morning, God, I believe you for a new creation? This morning, God wants you to understand that a creation is something new. It's something we've been talking, God, the last 3 weeks to me about restoration and what it means. But yet, we talked in CR about God is taking, and we used an old car example. You know, you can take an old car and restore it, right? And it can look as good as it was, if not better, than whenever it first come out of the assembly line. Well, God says, I want to make something new inside of everyone in this room this morning. A new creation means that it's totally new. He don't want you to be restored back to your old way out and reigning. He wants to restore you to your new creation.
Yes.
The new thing that you've never even experienced.
Praise God.
Glory be to God. It's the same way why he made the point on the 8th day. It's new creation. He waited and so he had Isaac right here. And this very moment in time, it was in God's timing. And it was proof not only to Abram and Sarah, but all the Jewish people in that area. Glory be to God. And so we understand that, look in verse 6 here, we can look, and it says, and Sarah said, God has made laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh with me. Before they were laughing at her. Now they're going to be laughing with her. You see, don't get wrapped up in the fact that, don't worry about what Billy Bob or Sally Sue says. If God's told you to do something, you better do it.
Amen.
If God said it, you can believe it. If God said it, it will happen.
Amen.
So don't get discouraged this morning. I want to encourage you this morning that you got to stay the course in this thing. And here we can account back to Sarah. Remember, she laughed over in the angel told Abraham in chapter 18 that they were going to have a child, and she was listening. Like a good wife, she's listening out of the tent window. What? It says she laughed. They're 86-year-old. Who is this guy? They didn't know it was an angel, really. I don't know. Abraham might have, his spirit might have known the spirit, but she's like behind the tent door saying, yeah, right. Yeah, I don't think so. I'm 86. And she laughed. That word said, and that said within. Now, you see, things have changed. God stepped on the scene, and the promise is fulfilled. And guess what right here? Now look, he says, and she laughed. God has made laughter. You see, God made the promise fulfilled in her, and she couldn't do nothing but just get happy, joyous. This time she's like, I believe you are who you say you are. Now, God. Her laughter turned from a kind of a mockery like to 1 minute to a joyous laughter. Yes. A joyous belief and just overwhelming with joy. Like it happened when Mary went to Elizabeth and tell her that she was with child. It said that, and she laughed and John leaped in her womb. That same laughter, that same joy, the fulfillment. You see, everything we're learning now is a type and shadow of the new creation in Christ. Isaac is a type and shadow of Jesus Himself, because they waited, they trusted God, they had faith, and God made the promise. And through that same seed line would eventually come Jesus. That one thing that God had told all the way back hundreds and hundreds of years ago. There was time we learned in discipleship that God didn't even speak to people for how many years was it?
408,
over 400 years. There was a dispensation of time where He spoke through the prophet and all the prophets in the Old Testament. But then there was a time where are you, God? Where are you, God? You might be there this morning. You might be in that place this morning. But I'm here to give you a word that says God is faithful. God is faithful if you'll be faithful over a little.
Yes.
If you'll be faithful in what He says and begin to trust God, believe God for what He says, He will do what He says He will do. Can you give God a big old amen in here?
Amen.
When God called Abram, He promised to make him a great nation. Genesis 12, 1-3, that same seed line would eventually change the world. And as we know it, as we just said, that would be Jesus. Now, there was a lot of messed up men and women along the way, was they not? Still are, that's right. But in that same journey, who can give me somebody that would stand out in the seed line here? Probably one of the most known in the Bible.
Daniel.
David. All right.
I had to do
that. Very good.
DNA.
Yeah. Was David a saint?
No.
Man, he was messed up, wasn't he? He was a killer, but he couldn't even kill because he had to get somebody else to kill somebody, one of his best friends, for him. Because he didn't have the guts to do it himself. Because he was looking at his wife and wanted her. Full of lust. But God, He didn't change His plan, did He? Remember that. Whatever God speaks, He does it. His promises are yes and amen. And you've got to understand, it's not in our timing, neither. Then we got to say that He repeatedly, God also repeated the promise to give the land of Canaan to Abraham. Not only do you, it says in 17 and 7, and to multiply them greatly. So not only does he bless you, not only was he going to bless them, he's going to bless the children, your children, and you, and their children. And it's on down the line. When you're in the will of God and you're in the righteousness of God, he wants to bless your whole family. I mean, wants your whole family blessed. He says, until your descendants. You see, there's either a curse or a blessing. And you can break the curse line. Some of you might have been along that. You might have not had the best parents. You might have not had the best home. But that's all right. God says, I don't care. He said, trust me. I'll change everything in your life. And so Abram would be the father of the promised seed, it said in 15 and 4. And Sarah, not Hagar, would be the mother in 17 and 19. The birth of Isaac reminds us that God keeps his promise in his own way, in his own time. In spite of their occasional failures, Abraham and Sarah believed God, and God honored their faith. It says in Hebrews 11, anybody know Hebrews? It's the faith. This is the faith chapter. It says, by faith, Abraham. Now, this is New Testament. So, again, we're referring old and new. Now, it's talking about, by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as an inheritance, obeyed and what? Went. He obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. Now, let me stop there and preach a little bit. Sometimes God will tell you to do things that just don't make sense.
Amen.
He'll tell you to go somewhere. You're like, what? I got to go through the land of the giants. I got to go over, what? I don't think so, God. And you'll start your faith right there. What happens? The enemy comes in. And with that word we started out with, what happens? Fear sets in. Fear sets in.
Yes.
And fear will cause you to turn back. Oh, this is somebody. Somebody needs to hear me this morning. God's told you something this morning, and you're right there. You're right on the edge of the cliff. And God's telling you this morning, don't turn back.
Amen.
Don't turn back. Don't question Him either. Don't question God. I don't know who that's for. You better receive it this morning. And it goes on. It says, in 9, by faith he made his home. So he went. He made a home. He went on through the trials. We understood there was war. He had to go through a war, right? We read about that. And all kinds of stuff. But then it says he made a home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. You don't have to have your buddy go with you if God tells you to go. Listen to me. We're too wrapped up in go with me. Come on, go with me.
Come on.
Come on, go with me. You want to do what Pastor Ronnie's doing? No, you do what God tells you to do, okay? You need to stay on the plan of God. Don't let it might not even be the enemy, but it might be just a worldly friend, okay? Let's use that. Will influence you to go the wrong way.
Yes, come on.
Come on now. Amen. That one person may take you off the path of righteousness.
Come on.
May take you down the wrong road, and you may spend 25 years in hell.
Come on.
On earth.
Come on.
Now, I don't know about you. I don't know that I even got 25 more years. I'm 53 years old. I want to go down the path of righteousness. I want to be led by the Almighty God and say, not my will, but yours be done, God. Lead me, God. Open the door. I'm going to be on my knees. I'm going to be like Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, and I'm going to trust God for everything. How about you in this morning? Can you say you're right there right now? It's okay if you're not. Because it took time. It took being in God's presence. It took somebody on their knees. Like Abraham, I guarantee you he was behind trying to find every little shade tree he could through that. Because he had to go through the desert to get to that promised land. hear what I'm saying. You may be in a dry and a thirsty place right now in your walk with God. But God wants you to know He's with you. He'll make a way where there seemeth not to be a way.
Come on.
He'll put a palm tree right there for you to get under and pray. Oh, glory be to God.
He'll send somebody to your car.
To yes.
When you're in the middle of the road trip.
Yes, He will. Isaac's birth also meant the rewarding of patience. Boy, they ain't nothing better than knowing that God is giving you a gift. Glory be to God. That your patience paid off. It's something inside of you stirs up and say, whoa, ain't nothing better when it comes from God, is it?
That's true. So
Isaac's birth was the meaning of a reward for Abram and Sarah. It was 25 years, man, for the son to be born, because it, through faith and patience, we inherit the promise. It was through that faith and patience they inherit. Yeah, I'm sure they wore thin. Don't you know they did? Absolutely. But they didn't turn around. They never quit. They never quit the journey of believing, because they would have said it in here if they did. God wouldn't have blessed them. Now, I hear in the Spirit. I'm going to tell you something. God can put a call on your life. You better do it. You better do it, because if you don't, you might miss the blessings of the Lord. God will move right on to the next. To get what accomplished, what He wants to get accomplished. That one that's lost out there today. That one that's under the bridge that needs to know that Jesus loves them. That's been called to preach since they were 10 years old that we met last Sunday, that guy. When I spoke that over him and prophesied over him, only God knew that. When he looked up at me, this homeless man, and says, "How'd you know that?" I said, "I don't. He does." And God told me to tell you. You better know that God's got a plan. This guy had been in the army. He had been in the service. He had been every... But yet, here he is, homeless. A vet. But God wanted to reach him. And He wants to reach lost through you. He has a plan and purpose through you. Just like He did Abraham and Sarah. The promised child. The promised child. Now, Hebrews 6:10 says, God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown Him as you have helped His people and continue to help them. We want each of you, this is the reader saying, we want each of you to show this same diligence to the very end, so that what you hope for may be fully realized. Does that make sense? Right there to the end. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. In other words, you become lazy and you give up. You quit going to church. You quit walking in the way that God first directed you. You become lazy. Guess what can happen? You might not inherit the promise. Don't shoot me, I'm just a paper boy. I'm telling you, God will stop the plan if you get out of the plan. He gives us free will. Now, this is showing us here that it's talking about, and you can refer to Paul when he says to the end, what's the scripture? I'm trying to think of it. I'll think of it in a minute. Never mind. Trusting God promises not only to give you a blessing at the end, but it gives you a blessing while you're waiting. You might not be getting what you want right now. Everything may not be going right. But as you begin to trust God, guess what? There are little blessings sometimes. But there's sometimes they're like, whoa, God knows what you want when you need it. Right then and there. That means being really just like, I'm just like so tired. I can't do this or whatever. And God all supernaturally does something. And you say, That has to be God. It says He's a present help in what?
A time of need.
So He knows what we need. Now I'm getting close here. Just a few weeks. Anybody watch the Olympics? Nobody? Huh? Oh, I love the Olympics. Oh, well, that hasn't been over.
It's already over.
You'll wait four more years.
I guess I was up there with no TV.
Don't worry.
Well, it was good. I'll just tell you, it was good. And the little girl,
Simone Biles.
She won it all. She showed them. It was great. But what is one thing they all have in common? They all different gift categories and different things. What is one thing they have in common?
Winning.
Yeah, they want to win. That's for sure. What else?
Training and discipline.
Perseverance.
Training and discipline.
What else?
Drive.
Drive. Okay, what else?
Skill. Faith, talent.
Well, how do you get all that?
Having a desire.
Great.
God gives you this talent and the skill.
Okay.
And you have to work on it.
There we go. You know, you can take that word, work, and it talks Ephesians 2:8, whatever it says, we're saved by grace. It's not of works that any man should boast. Okay, that's talking salvation. But it also talks about work and James. And very much. James 2:18, it says, blah, 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 blah. And then James says in 2:20, oh, wait a minute. Here we go. We know salvation is not by works, Ephesians 2:8, but there's something in faith and action. It's faith and action, what I put on here. Faith, in James 2, it says faith without works is dead. And then on in 2:26, he goes on deeper and says, for just as the body without the spirit is dead, what?
So also faith without works is dead.
In other words, if there's no fruit in your life, then you might want to check yourself. Now, I'm not talking about do-good stuff, okay? That's good and all, but faith work, things that, you know, like what we did Sunday was such a blessing, but giving the same faith, sharing the gospel, right? Sharing the good news, using that. Now, all the things the come together, but you got to understand, Paul also said to the church in Philippi in 1 Philippians, and I think Greg said it, I press towards the goal for the prize. One word that talks about persevering, and that's the word he used, pressing towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Now, that wasn't Paul's ultimate goal, to get his crown of righteousness and a lot of stuff in heaven. But it does say that we will be rewarded. And one day, we'll stand before God and we'll give an account for things we've done. And again, it's not knocking on doors and good deeds and all that. It's wanting to do it. Wanting to share the love. Sharing the same hope that you have. Sharing that same goodness. All those things. Does that make sense?
Also, if you have faith, like the story that Chris tells over and over again, if you have faith, it's going to show in your actions. Mm-hmm. If you have faith in God and you believe and trust in Him, then your actions will show. You will have faith and not fear.
Absolutely.
You will step out in faith and do things that show other people you're not doing this in your own power. You're not doing this out of your own desire.
Very good.
That's what it means. Faith without works is dead. It doesn't mean you'll do good things because you have faith. No. Your actions will show you trust in God more than you trust in yourself or anyone else.
And let me say this too. Like last Sunday, when you're walking in the Spirit, you're just being an obedient vessel. God can start using you like, whoa, where did that come from? Because the same way here, He wants to get the glory.
Yeah.
Yes. It's not by works that any man should boast. Because once you start saying, look at me, what I've done. Look at this, and I've done this, and I've done that.
Yes.
Guess what? God's going to cut you off right there. You just well get ready. You're going to be on a lonely desert place because God will cut you right off. And he'll say, well, we'll just see how you handle this in your life. Okay? It's all to God be the glory. And that's what we're talking about in this story. It's that time when Isaac's born. To God be the glory. And it says, Paul also spoke to Timothy. Who was Timothy? He said he was his beloved son. He was like a son to him, his disciple. Chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. He said, you therefore, my son, be strong in grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You therefore must endure hardship, as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, here he is using that athletic thing, he is not crowned unless he what? Competes according to the rules. It's not our rules, it's his rules, it's God's way. The hard-working farmer must be first to partake of the crop, he said. And consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. Now, faith is a journey, and each happy destination is the beginning of a new journey in our life. When God wants to build our patience, he gives us a promise. He sends us a trial and tells us to trust him. James 1 says 2 through 8, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials as many kinds, because you know that the testing of your what?
Faith
produces what?
Perseverance.
Like Greg said, let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lack wisdom, you should ask God. Don't ask me. Ask God. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt. Because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all their ways. That's a pretty hard word. Now, this is coming from James, Jesus' half-brother. What does it mean? It's like a ship being tossed in the ocean. That wave, your life, you're tossed back and forth. You're in and out. You're in God, you're out of God. You're in God, you're out of God. You're unstable in all your ways. Nobody's going to follow you. Nobody's going to believe you. Your testimony is wishy-washy. In that situation, who's going to believe you?
That's
nobody.
That's so true.
Nobody will believe you. That's what James is saying here. He says, if you lack wisdom, ask God for it. You've got to ask God for it. Now, in closing, last 2 points. The birth of Isaac was certainly the revelation of God's power. That was one reason why God waited so long. He wanted Sarah to be as good as dead.
Her body to be as good as dead.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Her body be... She was knocking on... What's the old rock and roll song?
Knocking
on heaven's door. She's knocking on heaven's door. And so, maybe God likes rock and roll. I don't know. But that was what he was basically doing. He said, hey, you know, you're the one that led him into that bedroom for Hagar. Okay, I'm going to still bless. He's still blessing that Hagar's seed. But yet it's not my seed. Right? So, we understand though that this journey that they were on now had come to a point so that their son was birth would be a miracle of God. A miracle from God because nobody else could deny it. Right? I mean, 100 years old. Romans 4:17 through 21 says, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God, in whom he believed. The God who gives life to death and calls into being things that were not. Against all hope, here we go, Abraham in hope believed and so became the father of many nations. Just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the facts that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. 20 says, yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave God glory, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had done. You see, this was a revelation of God's power. It was a proof of God's power that he can do anything he wants to do, that he is who he said he is. Amen? And the last point is that Isaac was a step forward in the accomplishing of God's purpose. Wherever you're at right now, God wants you to keep stepping forward. He wants you to keep stepping forward in faith, trusting Him. And He wants you to understand that He's got this as long as you go in righteousness with Him. Now, the future redemption of a lost world rested with a little baby boy. Here, Isaac would begot Jacob. Jacob would have begot give the world the 12 tribes of Israel, right? And from the Israelites, Israel, the promised Messiah would be born. Jesus himself. Down through the centuries, some of the living links in the chain of the promise may have seemed insignificant and weak at times. And in your life, some of the things maybe seem insignificant right now. The things you're going through, but God says, I've got a plan, I've got a purpose, and I don't waste any hurt. I don't waste anything in your life. There is no waste. Stay in God. Trust in God. And you've got to believe in God, and you've got to believe in His promise. And the next time you feel defeated, discouraged, remember Abraham and Sarah. God wants you to understand that if He spoke it, if He said it, it will be done. Amen. Amen. Now, in closing, I want you to ask yourself this morning, are you trusting God for everything right now? There's some things you might just be a little bit in. You're like dabbling in the water. You got your little feet in there. I don't know, Lord. God's saying, I want you to come deeper. I want you to come a little deeper. You ever heard of the story about the guy who, we'll call him Joe. Nah, I believe it's Jack. He is walking along this steep cliff side, and he accidentally got too close, and he fell. And on his way down, he grabbed a branch. Y'all heard this story? And he grabbed that branch and he stopped him. He was holding on for dear life, and he was just holding on, and you know, and down, he thinking it's thousands of feet down there. He'd walked beside that cliff for so long, you know. He knew it was a steep cliff, but it was dark, and he didn't know, you know, where he was. All he knew was to cry out, and he was crying out, somebody help me. He started, kept hollering, and help, anybody up there. And he yelled for a long time, but nobody heard him. Nobody come, and then all of a sudden, Yes, yes, I can hear you. And he was like, I'm down here. And I can see you, Jack. Are you all right? Boy, don't sometimes something just don't make sense. Are you all right? No, I'm not all right. I'm hanging on a cliff. And he says, yes, but who are you? And where are you? And he said, the voice said, I'm the Lord. Jack, I'm everywhere. And Jack said, the Lord, you mean God? He said, that's me. He said, God, please help me. Please help me. I promise I'll do anything. I'll go to church. I'll do anything. I promise. And then the voice says, let go. He said, what? He said, let go. Trust me. Are you kidding me? No, I'm not kidding you. Let go. Trust me. What Jack said. Is there anybody else up there? That's funny, but it's a way we are, isn't it? When we gotta get to a point to trust God and have that much faith, can you really trust God? Boy, we're fixing to have a new baby born in the ministry house. I'm excited as they are, I think. But the fact is, when you get to that point, the fear that can set in when a baby's about to be born. Whew. I need to go through that. Oh, Lord, just let it have a couple hands and some feet. You know, all the things that go through your mind. And I'm telling you, you will think that. Don't think you won't. I just want a healthy baby. Everybody praise that. I tell you what, it's the same thing Abraham and Sarah had to go through. They had to trust God for 25 years. Nobody in here wants to go through that, right? Well then, this word is challenging this morning. This morning, when I was praying, God gave me a word. I'm going to say this and close. I want you to hear me. How many of you want a miracle working God in your life? How many of you want a miracle working God in your life? He said, to do so first, you have to be in love with Him as much as He is in love with you. Second, you have to trust Him even in the most trying times and biggest storms in your life. God said, get out of the boat. Trust me. And third, you have to serve Him like there's no tomorrow and life everlasting depends on it. Quit being selfish, God said. Quit being selfish. My people perish because my people are selfish. That's what the Lord told me this morning. Life everlasting, not your life. You can be born again. There's a brother or sister down the road needs to hear the good news. That's why Jesus said, go. You heard the word last week. This is the last thing I'm going to say. I wrote it down. Everybody bow their head. No one will ever be right where you are standing right now . You're in a perfect place for your miracle. Right where you're at right now. You may, as long as you stand in faith and trust in me, I control your destiny, saith the Lord. I'm going to say it again. No one will ever be right where you are standing right now. No one else will ever be where you are. In other words, don't be looking at everybody around you, your situation, where you are. Right where you are right now, you're in a perfect place, God said, for your miracle. As long as you stand in faith and trust in me, and I control your destiny. If you're in here this morning and you know that some of this has hit home, I know it did for me some, and you want to just say, Lord, I'm out of control. I want you in control. I need you like never before. God, He is a miracle-working God. There's nothing too big for God this morning. If that's you, don't you just slip your hand up to God, not to me, just up to God. Say, Lord, that's me. I need you. Hands going up, hands going up. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We know that the Word comes from the Lord. We're right now in this time, in this place, Lord. We're calling out to you. Where you're at right now, I can't pray it for you. You need to pray to the Lord this morning. Ask God to change your heart. Circumcise your heart. Place your faith in Him. Move past the what you think and trust God for it. Just like Abraham and Sarah. Lord, this morning we asked you. For everyone in this room, I stand in front of this loving congregation of people and ask, Lord, for divine intervention right now. From on high, supernatural power, Lord, is what everyone needs in this room, including myself, to trust you, to have faith in you. Lord, we know you've promised us things, and Lord, we stand in those things in faith this morning. Forgive us of our sins. We place our faith in you. We trust in you now and ask you, God, to empower us to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. All right. Well, I hope God has ministered to you this morning. Yep. And
yes. You know, last Sunday when I was here, I had the Lord had something.